On today's episode of the Brad and Will Show, we're going to be reviewing Jalen Green's sophomore season. And we have a special guest with us today. It's going to be Ryan Hollins. He's going to be helping us analyze Jalen Green. So y'all got to stay tuned and catch this one. Welcome back to the episode of the Brad and Will Show. I see Ryan down there vibing to the intro music, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, man. Welcome to the episode of the Brad and Will Show. I'm your first host, as always. Will, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. Over there, we've been doing all types of the content for Houston sports, Houston Rockets content. So really appreciate you guys tapping in with us over there. And I'll quickly shout out the Brad and Will Show on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We appreciate you guys continuing to leave, you know, your likes, your comments, and subscribing. So, you know, appreciate all the support you guys have shown us on that front. And I'll pass off to Brad.
Man, as always, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, y'all can find me at BradoNBA, favorite stats, highlights. I got y'all covered there. And Ryan, you're too funny because I see Will talking. I see, I find out why he's laughing. I look down at Ryan over here just digging.
Bobbing.
But man,
I don't know if, you know, I know the people who are listening at home know, but I don't know if you know it, Ryan. But, you know, I made that that beat you was just vibing to. So I think you pat myself on the back real quick.
Okay. Okay. Hey, man, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay.
I got a little side skills I'll talk about.
But, yeah, Ryan, as always, we got to give you the good introduction. Former NBA player, Rockets broadcaster, host of the NBA Rookie Life podcast. Best true shooting percentage in Clippers history. We got him on the show today. A second time on, so it's we're glad to have you back. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. And on a side note to that, I got to tell you, we appreciate you guys because you guys truly listen to the broadcast, like from preseason to our web broadcast early in the year to like you guys rock with everything. So you guys are in tune with everything that's said, everything that goes about. Brad, we can't slip nothing by you. Brad felt like I called him out because he tried to call out Jalen Green with the no look that I called it. Like, it's about, y'all don't let nothing slip, man. And Brad, I love that. So I know, you know, sometimes me and Craig can slip in a little vibes immaculate sending in the broadcast. And you guys will know we rock it, man. Appreciate you boys, man.
We appreciate you for being in the city. And that really starts us off with our first question because, again, this is your second season with the Rockets, just concluded. Man, we got to ask you, what's it been like just being in Houston 2 years, 2 years in? What's the vibes been like for you?
Pinch me, man. Like, pinch me. I'm dreaming. Like, this is a blessing. I was the kid. I didn't come from, like, my dad went like a 10-time perennial all-star. Like, I didn't have the NBA training. I didn't even, like, Stacey Alvin and Jacques Vaughn were our NBA players. But I went to Stacey Alvin camp growing up, and that was about it. So for me, not just to play in the NBA, but to be around it and have a privilege to speak about it, it's a blessing. And you guys know, like, the Rockets are the first team I fell in love with watching basketball, watching that championship, like, as a kid. So, like, you never forget those players. You never forget those moments. And you even mentioned, like, the Rockets that – not the Rockets, excuse me. I'm trying to temper myself. The Rookie Life podcast, I get to chop it up with some of these guys. Like, even just seeing them is special for me. So – I'm still on cloud nine, man. I'm loving it. I'm appreciative. I'm enjoying it. And we got an amazing organization, amazing city, amazing kids that I get to work with and be a part of every day, man. So it's just really cool. And life comes around full circle. And for me, it's one of those moments, guys.
Love that. Yeah, and that was really our next one as well. Your podcast is really dope. You've had the chance to talk to a lot of players. What's that startup been like for you? And how's it been recording that podcast? You just started it recently, a few months ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Shout out to the NBA and iHeartMedia. As you guys know more than anybody, doing a podcast can be extremely intimidating at times. It's hard kind of connecting and finding guests, getting your content going. And I think the biggest struggle is consistency. But for me, it's been a blessing, and the support is everything behind this. So you brothers who are doing your podcast on your own, chopping up, editing, grinding, getting guests, doing the whole nine, man. It is work. So make sure you guys going, and I hope, pray that you guys are supported with what you're doing. I'm glad you're still cooking and doing things on that front. But for me, it's just been amazing just talking to the guys. Like, I get caught, like, I'm a fan of the game, like, just getting into the hoop stories and love of the game and You know, listen, we're trying not to go too hardcore Rockets. It is an NBA iHeart production, but, you know, I am ecstatic to talk to a lot of the OGs, a lot of the Rockets legends, a lot of these guys, a lot of these, you know, got a chance to talk to Jabari. And when he was seemingly going through that rookie wall struggling and see him like blow up, hit his big shots, it was really cool for the podcast to have kind of tapped in with him before he, you know, really just started doing his thing. Kessler over in Utah, getting a chance to chop it up with him. And he was in the rookie of the year running. So getting a chance to talk to these guys and integrate kind of like the Ryan Hollins flavor. And for me, as you know, the NBA is a fraternity. You get 10 years in the NBA, 9 different teams or organizations. You meet different coaches, different players, front office members, and then coming back full circle and talking. It's like talking to like a high school friend, man, your high school buddy, your college buddy, and just chopping it up. Like, the vibes are crazy. So I'm blessed. I'm enjoying it. And it's been really, really cool for myself. And I like that I can talk to a guy as young as like a Jabari and then sit down with an OG like Vernon Maxwell. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and talk, and I'm allowed to have that versatility upon the podcast. So shout out to the NBA, shout out to iHeartMedia, man. I'm thankful and I'm grateful for it. I am.
Yeah, no, you've done a great job so far. I had a lot of fun guests. Keep it up. Obviously, we're going to be staying tuned. I was just trying to spread the love. Everybody that's listening to the Brad and Will Show, got to tap in with my boy Ryan. So,
and that's love for you going out and retweeting and commenting and interacting, you know. And I what we're trying to do is create a community, man. So I appreciate you brothers also.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, we appreciate you as always. But yeah, just to start, man, Jalen Green again. We're going to be reviewing his sophomore season. Ryan, man, you were front row for all of these games. So we're going to have to start it with you. On the positive note, what were the positives, in your opinion, from Jalen Green's second season in the NBA?
Let's erase everything, development and growth. I don't want Jalen Green to be like who he is as a rookie right now that he's going to be. I played 10 years in the league. Some guys didn't get no better. They were kind of just that good. The fact that Jalen keeps getting better is amazing to me. He's put on strength. He put on some size. He cares. And I think that the expectations maybe jumped a little too high and some people got down on Jalen, like, well, he's not doing this, this, and this. He's not doing this. And it's like, yo, he keeps getting better. Is there a different NBA that he's seeing this year versus last year? He's first up on the scouting report. You know, teams, and unfortunately, I think the Rockets have something in common. And I'm speaking to Jalen Green that the Lakers had, that Golden State had, and the Rockets had. The Rockets did not get a night off. So for the Golden State Warriors and Lakers, when they went on the road, they got teams with A++ efforts. And the Rockets on the other side were one of those teams where teams were like, you can't lose to the Rockets. And the race in the West was so tight that you had teams just pouring it on the Rockets. Where last year you could sneak in a win or two, a team may have been secure in their standings to where it wasn't a must win. All these games were must wins. So Jalen Green saw A++ efforts. He was schemed for. He was game planned for in the NBA. He had guys coming out who maybe didn't normally start. That this is true stars treatment. And we're like, you getting a start tonight because you got Jalen Green. Go chase him around the perimeter. Go get physical with him. Go use your 6 foul. Like, you ain't an NBA player. So you got a guy coming in saying, I'm going to use 6 fouls on you, bro. Like, that's a different grind. So I love that he's learning. I love that he's developing, and he just has so much thrown at him. And I hope that we do justice by allowing the fans to know how hard his job is and that he has done a great job, man. And we can't take what he's doing for granted, because there's not a lot of guys around the league doing that, let alone at his age, let alone have been in the league, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I never really thought about that point that you brought up. The standings were so close that these were literally must-win games, so I didn't play that into a factor of these teams giving A++ effort, really toning in on Jalen Green, knowing that he is that number one scorer on the team, and he's going to get all that attention. But yeah. Will.
Yeah, or like, hey, man, like, you can't just drop that 40 ball where, like, the other team already's locked in, they ain't really tripping. Like, they like, nah, he scores 40, we're going to lose. Like, yeah.
That's how it was. And Will, we talked about it plenty, but we got to tell the listeners, man, what were your thoughts on Jalen Green's season and the positives?
Yeah, I think Ryan touched on it. This season he moved up the scouting report, You know, last season he was probably, you know, what, second option, maybe behind Christian, what, sometimes the third option. But, you know, this season, everyone knew it was Jalen Green's team. And he's at the top of everybody's list. He faced the most defensive attention this year. So I think his ability to, you know, at this young of an age, still come out and perform the way that he did, that's worth noting. I think the biggest thing for me that really stood out to me about Jalen Green's second season was the continued improvements in the playmaking department. I think that was something that I really want to see Jalen Green improve on from his rookie season, because I've always felt like that was the thing that was going to take him from like really good, like all-star guy to like one of the best guys in the NBA, was his ability to impact the game in all facets offensively. So not just, you know, putting the ball in the bucket, but being able to use the gravity or the attention that you draw as a scorer from the defense to then, you know, make them those second and third reads to, you know, whoever's open, because, you know, defense is paying so much attention to you. And so I saw a lot of that this season. There's still, you know, we're talking about the improvement area. There seems to us a way to go in that department. But as far as like a second year guard who coming into the NBA really didn't have, like, that wasn't on his scouting report coming out the G League, was that he was going to be a playmaker. I think he was a lot better of a playmaker this season than a lot of people who, you know, analyzed him coming into the draft and kind of predicted for him coming into the second season. I don't think people saw this from him. So, you know, I saw him making those reads to the open shooters now. But, you know, the biggest one that I saw, and the most like consistent one, was the two-man game he ran with Alperen Şengün. I think we saw that those two guys had some really good chemistry. And he was able to find Şengün rolling to the basket, or, you know, those little like mid-range pick and pops where Şengün, like, kind of those little push shots. Like, Jalen and Şengün were able to connect in those like all the time. As a matter of fact, I don't think there was a single person on this team who was better at finding Şengün than Jalen Green was last year. So it's really kind of cool to see that dynamic between those two guys. But yeah, like, just his ability to get guys involved, that was something that really stood out to me this year. And then just his ability to just keep it going, right? There were nights where jumper wasn't falling. And I didn't see that, like, waver his mentality or his approach to the game. I didn't see him get scared of taking shots or discouraged. Obviously the losing can take a toll on you, right? But what I would rather see Jalen, you know, shoot 1 for 15 and shoot 1 for 2, right? Like, if the jumper's not falling, just keep going. And I don't think I ever saw you know, a night where I felt like Jalen was like he wasn't confident in himself, or he was afraid to shoot, afraid of the moment, right? There was the game against Phoenix where he got that that last second stop against Devin Booker. And, you know, once again, Jalen Green isn't somebody who people look at him and say, that guy's a defender. But he went out there and he stopped Devin Booker for that final shot. And so, like, you know, just seeing that he's able to stay in the moment, that was something that was really important, impressive to me.
Yeah, and when it comes to Jalen, for me, I have to look at it not from an efficiency standpoint, because, again, he is honed on by the other defense. He is the number one guy on the scouting reports. And this is the Rockets team that was last in three-point shooting. So the spacing, it wasn't really there. Jalen, in my opinion, has to force a lot of the issue, which was forces him to take some shots that aren't the best quality. So when I look at his season, I just look at it from a standpoint that he really did improve. The eye test will tell you that he really did improve. His points per game went up 5. Assists per game went up 1.1. And what I look at when I look at his stats, I'll just rattle them off and compare him to another star shooting guard that we all know of. So this year, he averaged 22.1 points, 3.7 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 53.9 true shooting percentage, right? Let's go back to Devin Booker's sophomore season. Yep. When they were around the exact same age, Devin Booker averaged 22.1 points, 3.2 rebounds, 3.4 assists on lower efficiency than Jalen at 53.1 true shooting percentage. And Devin Booker played 0.9 more minutes per game. So when people like to dog Jalen Green for, oh, he's inefficient, he's this, he's that, you really have to use context. A lot of these young guards, especially if they're on a team that doesn't have the best shooting or the best system in place for that person to succeed, you got to put it in the context, because Jalen Green really did a good job this season. He doubled his 30-point games from 8 to 16. And more importantly, in his rookie year, they only won one of those games he scored 30. This year, they won 8 of those games. They were 8-8 this year when he was dropping 30. So it's not like, oh, he's scoring and they're not winning, he doesn't help the team win. That's a bad narrative. And one thing I hate is narratives. Sometimes if they get out there, it's hard to get rid of them. And Jalen Green has a lot of bad narratives. He is a guy that can help this Rockets team win. And we'll put out the stat. when Jalen Green was shooting 20 plus shots, I think he was averaging 29 point some points on like a 57. Yeah, pull that up. Jalen Green, we got to stop the bad narrative surrounding him. He really came out there this season and he really improved his game. And I also wanted to say that he started the year terribly from mid-range, shooting around 8%. And then from after that point, he shot around 42% the rest of the season on around 103 attempts. So Jalen, again, he's got that three-level scoring potential. Insanely quick first step. Once he gets that burst, he's going to yam on somebody, so you better get out the way. So I really liked what I saw from Jalen this season in those regards. But
I got the numbers for you, Brad. I know you like numbers.
I do like
when Jalen took 20 plus field goal attempts next year, well, last season, which is like I think Jason Tatum took around 21, 22 this year. So, you know, and we kind of expect Jalen to kind of be in that same category one day. So we're probably taking about, you know, 18, 20 shots at his peak. But when he took 20 shots this season, he averaged 29.2 points per game, 4.2 rebounds per game, 3.7 assists, and he had a 57 true shooting percentage, which is around league average. So pretty good. For a second-year player.
Yeah, for a guy who just turned 21. So all these bad narratives around Jalen, y'all just wait until – and we're going to talk about this in the last segment, but just wait until he's in a new system, and they're really going to focus on Jalen and making sure he's at the best of his abilities. But Ryan, for now, we're going to talk about some things that maybe Jalen can improve on. I've got some in mind myself, but I'm curious to see what you have to say.
You know, I mean, I think there is truth. Obviously, you'd like to see him be more efficient, but there's more factors coming into play than not. And, you know, as a front office and a coaching staff, you sit and you evaluate and say, hey, is this him? Is this us? You know, how can we make this work? And I think that what we don't talk about enough also is Jalen worked on his efficiency. I think he heard the things that people were saying and said, you know what, I'm not going to point the finger at, you know, maybe because we're a young team or everything's not perfect or going as planned. And he went out and worked on his efficiency. So I saw him, you know, catch 1-2 dribble into a pull-up jumper. I saw those open threes, which early in the season he was passing up on. Those were turning into makes. You know, he shot really efficient from three. You know, he got off to, I want to say, like, darn near the last 20, 30, like he got off to a good start in every game. He'd hit his first or second shot. And I got to say it, I sounded like a broken record because once he scores, he's kind of rolling. So take the credit to him for his focus, the way he locked in. And I think he did get a lot more efficient. He started to trust the pick and roll. I think he's trusting the pick and roll. I think next year I want to see him like own the pick and roll. And I think for a guy like Jalen Green, I don't know if this makes any sense. You know, when you guys started a podcast, when you first came on here, it was like, can we do a podcast? It was like, just can we get graphics? Can we post? Like, can you, like Jalen Green, can you score 30 points in the NBA? Like, he had a question, like, can I go out and get 30? And then once he figured, I think he like knows he can get 30. You guys know, oh, we can run a podcast. How can I improve on it? How can I be more efficient? How can we rank with other podcasts, you know? And I think for Jalen, it's he had to figure out how do I control that 30 points I can get? Because I can, you know what, I figured out I can go score 40 or 50, but our team might lose. But how do I score 30 within a win? How do I be efficient? How do I, you know, share the basketball until I'm getting wide open shots because the defense is going with Alpi, you know? And hats off to Coach John Lucas, because that's something in practice and shoot-arounds, he pulled those two to the side. And more for those who don't know, for NBA shoot around or after practice, more commonly, that player goes over there with one or two coaches and he gets up shots. And that player goes over there and he was like, Coach Lucas was like, nah, y'all two work together. This is normally your individual time. You guys work together because we need you guys to make this work. And those two got comfortable and that hard work paid off. So hats off to the coaching staff for doing those little things behind the scenes that aren't seen to say, hey, this is important for us. These are good looks that are going to help the team moving forward. And I thought he was good there, but to answer what he can improve upon, obviously get stronger. Obviously efficiency, we're not going to act like it's not there. And then I think he's going to have to be moldable. The reason I say moldable is because you're going to see a different offense with Steven Silas versus Coach Udoka. You're going to have different teammates. You know, you were used to, you know, Scoot and Josh and everybody. I'm not saying those guys aren't going to be there, but there may be another guy in the mix per se. Like the NBA dabs, guys, I had in 10 years, I had 11 coaches.
That's crazy.
You don't get the excuse sometimes, but like, oh, it's a different system, a different team. I had 11 coaches. I probably have hundreds of teammates. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had Hall of Fame point guards I played with, and I had just point guards, guards that I play. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he's gonna have to adapt and adjust. And I'm not saying that he doesn't know this already, but I think, you know, he may be asked to do different things. It may be less playmaking next year. It may be more playmaking next year. But I think that he is moldable and he can do different things, I think is great. And I think in terms of the Devin Booker analogy, that's one I also tell back to with Jalen. For those who don't know, Devin Booker was asked because the team didn't have point guards and then Rubio got hurt. He played the point guard position. The ball handling responsibilities were in his hands. A lot of times, guys, we see what Jalen in that so come in and start the third, stays in with that second unit. He plays point guard with that unit. And then you can also always tail back responsibilities. And then what happens is you got a better Devin Booker. Now that Chris Paul got there, he got to go back to playing, you know, off the basketball. And in need, sometimes we've seen it again when Campaign was hurt. He steps in and he's back the second string point guard again. So that's just how you add a dimension to his game. So I think that the playmaking is going to be there, being adaptable, being moldable. I think he's a good on-ball defender. I'd like to see Jalen get more dirty in the paint. I think that would be excellent for him defensively. Like, you know, get in there, block some shots, get in there, take charges, get in there and do even more. Not to say that he doesn't do it. I think that would be a step. And I think that's going to come with physicality and just awareness. Right now, like, I'll give you guys an example. Like, it's darn near impossible to guard an NBA player straight up.
Right.
When you guard a college player, I can guard you straight up. So what I mean by that, when I'm in college or I'm in high school, I'm so athletic, I can play you straight up, which means I can kind of stay neutral. And whether you drive or shoot, I can recover and stop your shot. Players in the NBA are so good, you have to guard them, every player, for their strength. Because if you play them neutral, a driver's going to drive past you and a shooter's going to shoot over you. They're that good. And a megastar can do what he wants. So you get what I'm saying? Like, the superstar, all-star drives and he shoots well, where the regular player does one thing well. You have to adjust to what those guys do, and now you shade over to take that away. A lot of that comes with awareness. So the first time Jimmy Butler hits you, you're like, oh, snap. Like, that didn't look like that on TV. Now, you have 4 or 5 years of seeing what Jimmy Butler does. You're all right, Jimmy's going to go right. Stay down on a shot fake, take that first bump, because Jimmy lives off the bump. So as a veteran, you start to understand those things. You can't just rely on that athleticism. So these guys naturally, defensively and awareness-wise, are going to get better. So I guess that's just kind of like a part of it, you know? So I believe he's going to be better, is going to be a part of it. And I think, like, I hope that analogy, like makes sense, like, because – like right now, after 10 years in the NBA, I can spit off a scout report like that. Now, my first year in the league, it was like just run around and like play hard. Yeah. You know, like you just try. But those guys are so good that you can't just be there on time in the NBA defensively. Like you literally have to anticipate. Like if you're Jalen Green and you're guarding Devin Booker, you almost have to know to anticipate that I'm kind of linking, like sneaking up because he's about to come off a pin down. Or like, hey, when I'm guarding him on the ball, I'm almost knowing that there's a pick and roll coming to get him to his right hand, which is a strong hand. You know what I'm saying? Like you start to anticipate those things so you're not caught off guard. So our guys, a lot of times because they're young, they're not so much to be taught. They're getting caught off guard. We're like, oh, shoot, there's a screen coming for the guy. Like, whereas a veteran, you already know, all right, where's the screen at? It's going to be here any moment. Like, if I'm guarding my guy as a big, I would know, oh, he's running to a pick and roll. So I would cheat up a little bit so you're early and not late on a pick and roll. So a lot of that stuff comes with experience. A lot of it just comes through time, if that makes sense. And those are things that Jalen in year three is going to be different than year two and in year one, because there's so many like, oh, first times. Like he's seen LeBron, what, 8 times in his career?
Probably not even that much yet, because I think LeBron probably missed some of them games, huh?
Yeah. I just
3 times, right? Yeah. Right? Like a couple of these guys, right? Like, as a veteran, you see LeBron 30 times, 25 times, 15 times. like it comes with experience, and especially for those guys that are so good or, you know, they're specialty guys, you understand how to kind of navigate and figure the deal out.
Yeah, Ryan, I was going to say before we kick it off, to that's some top-notch analysis that Will and I weren't going to be able to give on how Jalen Green can improve in year two. So we definitely appreciate you for that insight. But Will, I know most people that we've heard from Rockets Twitter, they like to dog Jalen Green's defense. And Ryan noted that he was a good on-ball defender. And if you go to Basketball Index, it backs that up. I think he was a good on-ball defender. But I think what his issue could be at is that sometimes he's lollygagging out there and the effort isn't at 125%, which could be unlocked next season. But Will, what were your thoughts on what he needs to improve?
I think there's three things. I think it's and obviously, you know, he needs to continue just overall, you know, grow and develop. So I'm not saying he's fixed these three things and he's good. But the three key things that I think stand out to me are shot selection, his finishing around the rim, and then his, I guess, consistency defensively. Not even just saying just improve defensively, but like, or just his consistency in the game as far as like keeping his effort there 100% of the time, or like especially on the defensive end, right? And so as far as like his shot selection, I think half of what Jalen's efficiency problems come from, honestly, you can chip him down to shot selection to finish around the rim. I don't know if you can pull up what he finished around the rim, Brad, but as far as like his shot selection goes, there were times where I felt like Jalen kind of forced the issue. And like Brad kind of touched on it too, like you kind of have to sometimes when you're drafted to a team that's picking the top of the draft every year. And you know, you don't have necessarily the best talents, a bunch of young guys still trying to learn and figure out how the way the NBA works. So I will cut him some slack in that department. But there are times where Jalen, like that shot, I would, you know, just not that one. Don't take that shot right there. And I get what he's trying to do. I get he's trying to, you know, explore his offensive game. That's one of the things I'm going to touch on next with like Udoka, but I'm hoping Udoka can kind of help him clean up the shots that, you know, aren't, you know, the smartest of shots, the smartest of looks, and kind of help him pick his spots a little bit better. I think it's officially we'll start seeing some increases there because, you know, he only taking as many crazy shots. There were 20 times too where like he took, you know, I'm a fan of the game. I'm a fan of Jalen Green. So I look at these things. And when I saw him take those half court heaves in quarters, I'd be like, Jalen, we're going to look at the box score. It's going to say you shot 2 for 6. We really shot 2 for 5, but you know, one of those was a heave, you know what I'm saying? So,
hey, can I say something to that?
Go ahead.
I think the league, forgive me if I'm wrong, this because this is the tough part about the game. And maybe we can start a buzz here, guys. I think the league should honestly look at maybe taking that out.
I agree.
100%.
If there's a shot that goes behind half court, it's almost like a mulligan for the same reason of this is why guys are doing it. Brad, if I'm going to pay you and I'm going to evaluate you because analytics is a huge part on your three-point shooting, and if you are shooting under 40%, and let's say those are 10 heaves a year, 15 heaves a year, right? Probably Jalen could get 82 heaves, if not more, right?
Yeah.
Let's say he has 82 misses a year, or he goes 2 for 82, because a guy like Jalen's going to hit 4 of them at least. Let's go. He goes 4 for 82 on half-court heaves, right? That hurts your percentage, but it's very bad for the game because as a player, what do? You'll throw it to the big man now, or you're like, now it questions the integrity of the game, or a guy dribbles up and he's like, oh, I couldn't get the shot off. That's not good for the game, but they're paid upon that. So I hope maybe the league, let's maybe shoot a little note to the league as you guys bring it up, and maybe we can make those mulligans or say, hey, you know, teams, when you're going and evaluating a guy, we'll say he shot 40%, or he shot 32%, but we're also evaluating 80 of those shots were half court heaves. So he would be here if it was not for that shot, but I would like to see it ultimately taken out so that we can see players take those shots to end quarters. Like, I want to feel like my team is doing the most that they can do. And if you're LeBron, who cares? They're going to shoot a million. But if you're a guy trying to get paid, or they're saying you only, you know, you shot 20% from 3, bro. Like, right? As a playmaker, that ends up being a factor.
Yeah. And, you know, they did the thing recently. I kind of learned about this, I think, a couple months ago. I didn't even know they added this. But, where they have like, was it the team turnover, where like if you at the end of the games, if you hold the ball, it's not a turnover on you, it's a turnover on your team. And that was, so like, I think I could definitely do something.
So that's new thing.
Yeah, that's something that, I don't know when they, it might be like the last 2 to 3 seasons. I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that like they very recently added, because y'all, I mean, Ryan, you play, you know how it's where the, because the rookie will give the ball to the vet, well, or something like that.
It's funny you said it, because listen, I made a point about that. I want to say if it was earlier this year where,
yeah, I remember
Jabari said, and then and then like people were like, you idiot, you didn't know that, da, da, da. And I was like, no,
I didn't know about it either.
I remember that, specifically, that's how I found out. I played the game for 10 years, and I remember specifically you go and kind of do that, but like. Like let us get like the football shining moment. What they said, the best player in football is the nail, you know, at the end of the game. Like let us have our nail or our hold, you know, because yeah, right. Statistically, so hats off to the league for that. Like so, let's go. Let's start it right now. The 3-point percentage, yeah. Right? Let's take, if it's beyond half court and it's within, you know, 5 seconds behind half court, it should not count for percentage.
I have one more thing to add on before kicking it back to Will. There's some of these stat sheets that really. They have a thing called heaves, and they play that into factor. I don't see why they can't just move that into the 3-point percentage, because teams are going to be. Girl. Oh, we got another special guest back there. yeah, the NBA should really just figure that out and get the heaves out, because there's players that are scared to take those heaves. You'll see them pump fake the heave just because they don't want to mess up the 3-point percentage. But yeah, Will, man, you're on a good point. You know, Jalen, sometimes you take those heaves and you're like, ah, you know, set 2 for 5 is 2 for 6.
But he's the guy to take a heave, right?
Yeah. And he's not afraid. And I like that he's not afraid to take him. I like that he is not afraid to take him. I don't like that he takes them, because then I look at his field goal percentage and it says it's a lot lower than what it should be. But
82, let's say, let's just guesstimate one a game, right? 82 a year, right? Bruh, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that adds up. But yeah, it was shot selection. So cleaning that up, I think Udoka's really going to help him clean that shot selection up. I think his efficiency will start to see some increments there as he kind of improves his shot selection. Same thing with finishing around the rim. I look at Jalen, and obviously, like Jalen's an S-tier athlete, but you can't go out there every single possession and just drive and dunk the ball every single time. I know people think that, you know, these guys are obviously superhuman, but like people are like, LeBron, why don't you just dunk the ball every time? And it's like, it's not how the game works. You can't, if he could, he would, but you know, he risk injury, and you know, it's just not always possible just to go up there and dunk the ball every single time. But I watched Jalen play, and I feel like he finishes sometimes not using his athleticism. I see him kind of go up sometimes and he kind of try to like Kyrie Irving finesse it. And like Kyrie's a great finisher, but one of the reasons why Kyrie is so crafty around the rim is because he can't play above the rim, right? He doesn't have the leaping ability that a Jalen Green has, right? So I look at Jalen, I'm like, man, like you can try to finish like Kyrie, but one, Kyrie's one of one. But you have a skill that Kyrie doesn't have, and that's the ability to go above the rim. And kind of, I guess, finish through context. That's one thing he's got to work on this season, is like his strength and conditioning, as Ryan touched on. But I think as he kind of improve and kind of continues to get stronger, I do want to see him kind of stop. I saw him miss layups this year because he tried to like do like a reverse or something like that. It's like just go up strong, man. You're probably the best athlete on the floor, like nine, you know, most of the games that we play. Just, you know, use that athleticism and finish above the rim that way. And the last thing I said was his mentality staying in the play defense. And like I do a lot of that. I think I'd actually not take it back. I know that's gonna get cleaned up with Coach Udoka. I think Udoka's gonna make sure these guys, you know, stay into it defensively, you know, at all times of the game. But like there were times where I don't think Jalen Green's a bad defender. I think he's a young defender, right? So I think he's still learning how to play the game. And I think he obviously has, you know, some strides to take there. But obviously, like when Jalen Green is locked in, I've seen Jalen Green like say, I'm going to stop you when the ball is in your hands. And I think he does. It's what you can expect from a 21-year-old player. Like, I think he does a really good job at that. And so I think for him, it's not necessarily about improving defensively. I think it's just being able to stay in that moment and bring that defensive intensity all the time. And not just when it's Devin Booker for the last play, not just when it's, you know, I probably can go off the top of my head as far as like the different times where he's like locked in on someone, but like not just those moments, you know, the first 2 minutes of the game, you got to lock in that second quarter. And, you know, I think that, you know, we see a lot of times where he'll like cheat off the corner and we'll give up a corner three that way. And so stuff like that, like I said, I'm positive Coach Udoka is going to help us clean up, but those are the three things I think I really need to see Jalen Green improve on for going into next season. Oh, and then just like I also talked about the playmaking thing. Like I said, I was really impressed with him as far as playmaking goes last season, but I want to continue to see him, work on that. I think it was really interesting you talked about, Ryan, how John Lucas kind of pulled Jalen and Shingun to the side and made those two guys work together, because you can kind of tell they have probably some of the best, if not the best, chemistry from two players on our team. So that was really interesting.
I love that we keep talking about two things that are controllable. Sometimes players got stuff that's uncontrollable. We're talking about strength and experience. That's going to happen, right? Yeah. I love that we're not like, yeah, make him a little bit taller. You know, if he was taller, but like,
yeah,
strength and experience, like those things are going to get better.
Yeah. And I agree with both of you guys' points on things that he can work on, improve on. What I was going to touch on again was kind of what you guys have already said. I mean, consistency. We've seen Jalen go out there one game and get 40. Next game, he'll come out there and get 12. So, I mean, again, that's an experience thing, right? He's learning. As Ryan said, can I score 30? Can I score 30 a few games in a row? You know, it's a thing of experience. He's going to get there, in my opinion. And, again, it's going to work under a new system, in my opinion. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to touch on what he can improve on and also tie that into next season. So I'll just jumble my sessions into one because the points kind of balance off of each other. So when I look at Jalen Green, he was shooting 32.7% this year on pull-up threes and 33.3% on those step-back threes. And we've seen him. He can make some insanely tough shots. I got the highlight reel on my Twitter page. He looks insane. But what I like the most about Jalen, his efficiency jumps when he takes those catch-and-shoot threes. He shot 35% on catch-and-shoot threes this year. And I think that can still improve as well. But he's obviously a better catch-and-shoot three-point player than he is when he's trying to self-create for himself. When Jalen's self-created for himself, they have a website called Basketball Index, right? He was in the 98th percentile in the entire league and creating threes for himself, right? So that means he's taking a lot of unassisted threes. He has to create for himself a lot. And that's why those percentages, in my opinion, are so low. So if we can get him to take more catch and shoot threes, and I think that's going to happen with Coach Udoka, his efficiency is going to rise a lot more. He's going to be utilized a lot better. And a lot of those shots he won't have to force. But even with experience and being in the league longer, I think that step back 3% is going to improve. That pull up 3% is going to improve. That was just something I wanted to point out. And even around the rim, as you pointed out, Will, he was in the 98th percentile as well, unassisted attempts at the rim. So he can get to the rim at will. He can shoot the three at will. And that's a good sign for a young player that you're able to create your own shot and even get that shot off. That's why we see sometimes that Jalen was able to go off on insane stretches. And that's why he has those efficient games when he's on fire. You really can't stop him because he's taking these crazy shots and he's hitting them. Like, there's nothing you can really do about that. But, you know, it's hard to be consistent when you're taking those bad shots, and it will be easier in a better system. And what I wanted to touch on for next season, as you touched on with the playmaking, I think that's really going to improve. If you look at Coach Udoka, we talked about in previous podcasts, Jason Tatum improved a lot under him in the playmaking department. That entire team improved a lot in the playmaking department. They jumped from 25th in league in assists to 7th in assists, from 26th in league in secondary assists to 2nd in secondary assists. They're going to be swinging the ball a lot more. Jalen's going to look, he's going to improve so much more in the pick and roll, as you touched on, Ryan, and in every aspect, playmaking wise. So I'm just excited to see him in that regard. And then consistency on defense, that's what Coach Udoka preaches. They went from 13th to 1st, as we've said before, in defensive rating. So I expect Jalen to improve more consistently on defense. I don't think he's a bad defender. If you go on NBA Twitter, they're all saying, Jalen's a terrible defender, this and that, and third. It's just an effort thing, in my opinion, consistency thing, in my opinion. And those things will improve. So I just wanted to pull those quick stats. Jalen, again, he really creates a lot for himself. And once he has someone else who can create for him, and he's in a better system where they're swinging the ball a lot more, and ball movement is contagious, and Jalen's going to get caught up in that as well. We're going to see a lot better basketball being played, and that includes Jalen Green at the center of the offense. So that's what I'm excited about. But Ryan, you touched on it a little bit as well, being in the new system. What are you most looking forward to with Jalen Green being with his new coach?
I think that it'll be a clean slate, a fresh slate. One thing that I know about the NBA, every coach I had knew the game. They were just different. And sometimes I was a guy who I've been traded twice in my career. When you get traded, you get a new scenery. It's just a fresh start, and you're gonna have different eyes on you. So I think I'm excited that I think that and I think it may be just more the guys getting older, Maybe there's another veteran free agent signing. Who knows? We don't know. We're all speculating right now. But he'll just have different opportunities. And I think because we've talked about like Jalen Green being a three-level scorer, being able to play make a little bit, you know, he can plug and play into different spots. And I think that ultimately, I think we all know that, and I've talked about this, if this team can defend, basketball gets really easy because we're out and off to the races. And just a lot of those little things are going to come and play from Jalen just being a year older, you know, what the team dynamic and makeup is, then the front office being more familiar with the guys so they know, hey, what the team needs. And then Coach Udoka just coming in with a clean slate and a fresh start and just seeing, you know, how he can make things simple for these guys. And Jalen has, you know, things right now. We just want to say, hey, man, let's say this is it, the best that Jalen Green is going to be for his career. He can get out and run the lanes. He can hit an open three. And he's learned how to get to the foul line. He can get to the foul line 20 times a game if he wants to. So when the system's there, those shots are going to be there. He's not going to do nothing, you know, but improve. And I think that we'll see a lot of that next year. But like, it's just crazy. A lot of that is going to come naturally within the flow of time. And I know the one thing about Ime, as we spoke defensively, we know Boston took those next steps to consistency. And I think that we do want to be just mindful of, like, we're not the Boston Celtics. We're the Houston Rockets, okay? Like, you know what I'm saying? But you can look at some things where Jason Tatum took the next steps defensively. His effort got better, and he kind of figured out how they became more of a consistent team. And I think that hopefully Ime brings that to the table, you know, but I think we want to be mindful that we're not the Celtics. They're not, they got Jaylen Brown, they got Tatum, they got Smart. Like, we're a whole different makeup. So, you know, I am interested to see that. We know the defense is going to be there. We know it's going to be tough nose. We're playing against Ime, how tough of a player he was and what he brought to the table, and as a coach, how thorough that he is. But I do think we'll look for those things and we'll see him. And I think it's going to be his individual flavor on this ball club. And it will be unique. It will be different than what he did in Boston. But we can know that the consistency of defense and, you know, being back and helping your teammate out and getting up and pressuring the basketball, that's going to be there. And then we, you know, you have a guy who's been there before, you know, even it was his first year, is a short amount of time. He made it to an NBA finals, dude. Like, I don't care how you get, I don't care if you have Michael Jordan on one wing, Kobe on the other wing. Like, you make it to the NBA finals. That's impressive as a coach, because you still have to put things, you still have to put it together. And Ime was able to do so. So I'm definitely ecstatic for what he can do here, because we know we had the talent.
You know, I want to touch on, before I talked about what I think Ime Udoka kind of bring to the table for Jalen Green next season, Ryan completely reminded me of something that I forgot to mention.
You're going to say the same thing I was going to say. Go ahead.
What, the free throw attempt?
Free throw shooting, yeah.
Yeah.
Really amazing,
he reminded me, and I should have brought that up when we were talking about his biggest strength this season. Because, matter of fact, I think that was the single biggest development that we saw from Jalen Green this season, was his ability to get to the free throw line. I pulled up some numbers. He had these are just the attempts he took a game on some of these games, right? 17 attempts, 16 attempts, 16 attempts, 15 attempts, 14 attempts, 14 attempts, 12 attempts, 12 attempts, 12 attempts, 12 attempts. He got a bunch of 11 attempts, 10, 9 attempts. Like, he has, you know, he got to the line a lot more consistently this year. And that was something that we saw from his rookie season that he I think a lot of it was also like the rookie tax of being a new player in the NBA, not necessarily having the respect of the officials just yet. But he struggled to get to the line a lot in his rookie season. And that was something that I didn't see a lot from him this second season. I saw him get to the line a lot more. Yeah, go ahead.
I think there's a level, am I wrong? I feel like he still gets taxed certain games.
Yeah, and I think he still does.
But, like, I didn't want to bring it up, but, like, you know, like, sometimes you say, like, he will go to the – he's still figuring it out. I think hats off to the referees. They have a tough job. They're figuring it out, too, who Jalen is. Like, there are moments he goes to the hole, and I think he's going in for those layups because he's like, they're not going to call the foul if I try to dunk it. Like, he's in a tough – but, like, even more so for him to have that success with sometimes, you know, the referee's not as familiar with his game, it's, like, even double.
Yeah, I wanted to add a quick stat before you even jumped into your analysis. Well, with Jalen Green, free throw shooting, he had a three-game stretch where he made all 26 of his free throws. And for 21 and under guards, the only person to do that outside of Jalen Green – is that guy that wore number 23 in Chicago, right?
Oh, so go ahead and tweet that. That's a tweet, Brad. Throw that one out there.
I'll put that back out there. I tweeted in the season. I'll give it another month or so. I'll get it back out there. But yeah, just it's another thing. Jalen, he gets in line at will now, and that's only going to improve as well. So, Ryan, thank you for touching on that because Will and I were right here.
Yeah, that was something I completely forgot to mention.
And I got another analogy I want to throw to you guys too. Someone told me this was false. I don't know if it is or it isn't, but you guys know about the baby snakes versus the adult snakes. They say the baby snakes are more dangerous to you. Why? Because they just release all their venom when they bite you. Now, someone told me it wasn't true, but we'll pretend that it's true for this analogy, all right? Or someone fact check for us. You know, all y'all great fact checkers, fact check. So much like our young guys, like that adult snake knows, I'm going to give you just enough, give you a test. I'm not letting all my venom go. They're going to figure out, and as they get stronger, hey, pick my spots, pick my moments. Now I'm going to pass this quarter. Now I'm going to shoot this quarter, you know. But like we're going from being those baby snakes that just let everything out, just play as hard as they can play, or just they're forcing that shot up, you know, or like it's the only open shot going, I know that shot's going to be there. Then I'm going to get to the shot, you know. But that adult snake that's the venom go, that's enough here, that's enough there. This is what I need because I'm comfortable in who I am. So for argument's sake, give one of our fact checkers, let us know if that's accurate or not. But you guys know the analogy. So I think, you know, with our guys being able to control their games and be more at peace, you know, that's huge.
Yeah, somebody let us know about that.
That's a great analogy. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. So the free throw attempts, that was definitely what I forgot to touch on. We're talking about his strengths this season. But as far as what Udoka can bring to the table, I do think, Brian, you kind of touched on it. I think that we're going to see a pretty different roster next season. I think there's going to be a lot of consolidation trades. Probably going to be some – obviously, there's going to be a bunch of signings. We're talking about bringing in, some veteran presence. You're bringing in a top six pick this year. Maybe, pick 20 is going to come in. So there's going to be a lot of new guys, new faces on the team. I think Coach Udoka talked about it in his press conference, and Stone's kind of hinted at it as well. One of the things we're going to be looking to bring in, of course, is floor spacing. So I think just off the rips, so just having more space for Jalen Green, someone who likes to get to the rim and attack downhill, just giving him more space to operate in is going to, once again, do wonders for his efficiency. But then it's also going to help him do what he needs to do. We're going to bring in hopefully some more, some veteran guard presence who can kind of help set Jalen Green up. So that's some of the things that from a front office standpoint, they're going to be doing to help Jalen Green out. But as far as Udoka goes, I think for him, Brad, you kind of touched on it. We talked about on our, our podcast when Udoka got hired, but Jason Tatum took that leap from like I said, really good player to like almost like he might be a superstar now. Right. For sure. He took that leap. And I think Udoka kind of helped take that leap in the sense of, we know you can get a bucket, but now let's use that gravity you get in a bucket to get everybody else involved. And that's one thing Udoka kind of stressed, in his press conference when he got hired by Boston was, we're going to move the ball a lot more now. And so I think, unlocking that playmaking side in Jalen Green, hopefully he can do something like similar to what he did with Jason. He can do something similar with Jalen Green and bring that out of him. I think that's going to take Jalen Green from like really good talent to like superstar talent. And then, just the what he's going to bring to the table as far as like keeping Jalen involved defensively and holding him accountable, not only on both ends of the court, but especially on the defensive end of the court. I think it's the one area that Jalen needs to be held accountable on is like I said, giving that intensity and that effort defensively at all times. Obviously, I think Udoka is going to make not just Jalen, but the whole team smarter defenders. I think we're going to be a lot more sound on that end of the court next season. And so just seeing Jalen be able to be more engaged defensively and stay in the moment more defensively, I think it's going to do wonders for his development as well.
Yeah, and that really is what we were talking about today. We wanted to touch on his positives, his negatives, what he can improve on next season with a new coach. So, Ryan, if you had anything else you wanted to
go ahead. I was going to say, if Ryan wanted to go, I feel like it would be remiss of us to give him this podcast, talk about Jalen Green, and then not address that Jake Fisher report from yesterday. Before we get out of here, we got to talk about that. Yesterday, Jake Fisher reported that I think he said like the Rockets were they had addressed the idea of trading Jalen Green, and Ryan can talk about it a little more confidently than I can, but I'm gonna go ahead and say I am 100% certain that we do not trade Jalen Green anytime soon. I think that the addressed part might have just been a team asked, hey, is Jalen Green available? And Stone probably said no, and then with that was the addressing of it, and they put it out there, but. I don't really like the way that was aggregated, because, you know, next thing you know, Bleacher Report's tweeting that we're thinking about trading Jalen Green. And I don't think that's what's happening at all. You know, Jalen Green tweeted, he was I forgot exactly how he phrased, but you're going to tell Jalen Green saw the report. He wasn't too happy with it himself. So, yeah, like I said, Ryan, you probably have a little bit more insight on that than I do, as, you know, being someone in the organization itself. But,
well, guys, definitely far above my pay grade. but I will say, as a former player, a guy who played, listen, man, it's the nature of the business. I think essentially every single player in the league, unless it just doesn't make sense, is on the trade bait or discussed. That's just a part of the business. Will it actually happen? No. I think it would be, if it would ever, we'll speculate, a player X for his age and where he's, it would be a king's ransom, okay, to get him, okay? Like, you want to throw together Kevin Durant, Booker, and somebody else? Like, how much do you want to send over here? Like, you know, so this is just a part of the business. Unfortunately, you hear it, and it's frustrating, disappointing to see as a player. You're like, dang, what's going on? That sucks to open your phone and see that. And I think you guys are getting a understanding more so of the media perspective, where someone asked a question, obviously with Coach Udoka, and then a high draft pick coming, and people start to speculating of what's this and what's this mean, and all these questions come swirling around, you know, and then someone gets their hot take out, you know, that can be taken out of perspective. So I think it's the nature of the beast. I don't think it should have been in the news, but I also understand, as a player, if you can see that, I can imagine being like, okay, that's not cool. That's tough, you know, to see. But I think, safe to say, from regardless, we know it would take a king's ransom to get that young man. I don't think he's touchable. This is like I said, that is far above my pay grade, but I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think just our Rockets are kind of getting in that national media, getting, you know, there's a buzz, so people are speculating, like, you know, how many LeBron rumors there are, or how many people searching for that hot take around his team. And so that's good, man. We're getting there, guys.
Yeah, and when it comes to taking things out of perspective, it happened in that Rockets press conference with Alper Şengün and Udoka. People thought that he was slandering him. Like, it happens all the time. People misconceive reports, and it gets out of context. What happens is, oh, they may have addressed talking about this, and now it's, oh, they may be willing to trade Jalen. And from anybody you talk to, from a media member or a beat writer, they'll all tell you that report was nonsense. We saw Jackson Gatlin tweet out, shout out to Jackson Gatlin, check out Locked On Rockets. Hey. I got you. And then all that stuff, man, it's all nonsense. I'm not expecting Jalen to be traded. But I'm happy you brought that up, Will. Because
you know, and I want to add this too. I think that, I think that Jalen Green, like, being quote unquote available, I agree with Ryan. I think there's no way we trade, and if we do, you're going to give up like a lot to get him off of him. That's the franchise guy, right? So we're not looking to move him anytime soon. But I do think, from a GM standpoint, you should be accepting those calls, right? Like, if somebody calls you and says, hey, what's this, what's that, you know, obviously I'm going to tell you no, like, I'm not trading Jalen Green for, you know, blank role player. But if you want to offer a package together, I'll listen to you. I think that as far as Stone goes, like, I think it's not just Jalen, it's Jabari, Şengün, KPJ, Tari. Like, no matter who you are, I think that a good GM is always looking to improve his roster, both in the long, you know, or either both or in the long or short term. And so I'm not like, one, like I said, I don't think that Stone's looking to move Jalen. I don't think that at all. But what I'm saying is, I do think that a good GM is always, you know, like I said, he's listening to offers. He's listening to what people have to say. Because, I mean, let's say Dallas loses their mind and says, we'll give you Luka for Jalen Green. You know, like, that's the king ransom you were talking about, Ryan. You know, we love Jalen Green, but you got to do that move. And so, you know, I think that it's one of those things where, like I said, I don't think he's getting moved. But I think a prudent GM is gonna see what's out there. He's gonna you know, make sure he checks all his bases, and then makes the best decision for the franchise once he has all the information he has out there.
You got anything else you want to touch on, Ryan?
Nah, man. Look, we're on the same page. Yeah, it was cute. Whatever, I guess. But, and I think for our fan base, just take it as, when you start your team starting to pop off and you get in that national media, you got some buzzworthy stuff going on, people come fishing and searching, okay? Yeah. It's just a part of it.
No, I definitely agree. And Ryan, as always, second time on the podcast, so we got to thank you for pulling up. thank you for your time in Houston. We're excited to listen to you, you know, for years to come, man. You're going to be a legend in the city if you're not already. So we appreciate
you. I appreciate you guys. And I think the Twitter community, you know, understand how valuable you guys are and how cherished you guys are as a part of the community. And it, hang in there, man. Stay with what we got going on here. We love you guys, and especially Brad, and we will. You guys are spearheading a lot of that stuff. So keep up that positive energy. It is hard. I'm like watching it's weird. Like I'm watching the playoffs right now as if like, all right, we would do this. Like I'm almost watching the Kings. Like, all right, they're young. Like we were young, you know, that next step. So excited to see what it's going to look like. Happy for this organization, man. And I'm having a blast, but hats off to you guys who grinding and staying with this team and rocking and rolling with these young guys, man. So stay in there, stay positive. And there's, you know, I know it's tough, but there's a lot of good things coming in store, man. Trust me.
Yeah, you can ask Will, man. The optimism is through the roof after that Udoka signing. So we're
excited. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to close out. Again, y'all know where to find me, Brado NBA. Y'all heard it before, but go ahead, Will.
I was going to say, not just for the Rockets. I mean, this is a Rockets podcast, man. I'm excited for Texans football, man. Like, I think after that
trial, we about to, man, pop.
Bro, it's about to be lit next season. So the city, between the Rockets, Astros, and the Texans, I don't think I've seen this city this excited for just Houston sports in a very long time. So, yeah, as always, Ron, we appreciate you for coming on the show, taking time out today to come top it up with us. I think you have a lot of insight. You know, something like me and Brad as fans of this team can't even provide, you know, from the perspective of an NBA player, what that's kind of like. And I think you brought a lot of great analogies to the table. So we appreciate you for your time today. As always, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. Appreciate that. And like I said, I'll shout out the podcast, Brado and Will, on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Appreciate that support. Ryan, if you want to tell everybody where they can kind of keep up with you and what you're doing with your podcast and endeavors like that, we want to, you know, make sure we shout you out.
Absolutely, man. First and foremost, lead analyst, obviously, on the broadcast. Keep supporting, guys. Keep tweeting. Keep, you know, y'all think it gets old, but y'all say, hey, man, good job. Keep it alive. We appreciate it. We feel, you know, I don't want to say unseen, but we're the flies on the wall, man. So when y'all show some love, we definitely appreciate that. Shout out these young Rockets, man. You support these kids, you support me, man. This is all family, you know. And then obviously with the NBA Rookie Life podcast, for those who don't know, we take a dive into players, your rookie experiences, and then we go into an NBA film room. We see what a play that they did or little bits of their career, some cool stuff. And we got everywhere from, you know, like a Jabari and a young guy, some of these young hot rookies in the league, to some of the OGs, like a Vernon Maxwell, talking about his championship experience. And I can't say anything, but I'll say I got some really cool special guests that are cooking up. Okay. So guys, we're going to set the city on fire with a couple of these guests coming up. But for me, like I said, it's life full circle. It's really cool. And taking a deep dive, and I promise you will learn something you did not know about these guys by listening. IG Ryan Hollins, Twitter Ryan Hollins. I guess I'm not verified anymore for the time being. We'll see like what that is. Okay, guys. But shout out you guys. Appreciate you. Love you. You guys as a community, man. And keep it up, man. There's no I, there's no we without you guys. So keep it up and love you guys. And thank you again for your support. Seriously. Y'all like little brothers to me now. Y'all know that, man. So whatever y'all need, man, appreciate y'all, boys.
Now that's love. We appreciate that. And we're definitely going to catch you next season. When that season starts, you're going to catch me in the Toyota Center.
Yes, sir. Hey, pull up front row again, man.
We'll see how my
That boy Brown was front row. I'm like, okay.
Hey, man, tickets was cheap. I don't know if it's going to be like that. But we'll see. But guys, next week we got Jabari Smith Jr. play review coming up. So y'all stay tuned for that. And we appreciate y'all for listening. Make sure to subscribe. We're going for 1,000 subs. We can get there soon with y'all's support. Again, we just appreciate y'all for listening, but we'll catch you guys next week.